Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Charles Gatti, who's a senior research professor of European and Eurasian Studies at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, a former senior advisor with the policy planning staff of the U.S. State Department, and a former professor at Union College and Columbia University. His books include Failed Illusions, Moscow, Washington, Budapest, and the 1956 Hungarian Revolt, and Zabig, the Strategy and Statecraft of Zbigniew Brzezinski. He has an article at the Washington Post, Why Hungary's Prime Minister Blames George Soros for All of the Country's Woes. Welcome to Background Briefing, Charles Gatti.
Thanks very much.
And Charles, do you have any sense of where elections stand at this point? My understanding is, in broad strokes, what's at issue here is, first of all, there apparently is a strong turnout, and the question would be whether that means a further drift to the right, empowering the government of the increasingly authoritarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, or whether the splintered opposition might win enough seats to constrain Orban in his fourth term. Is that what's at stake?
Well, what I can tell you are two things. One is that a far larger percentage of eligible voters showed up to vote because the Hungarian government puts out these lists very well. So I know that, for example, at 6:30 this evening, the local time, 68% of those voters voted, while 4 years ago it was 60%. So that's a fairly substantial difference. The polls should have closed now, but they're not closed in most places or many places, simply because there are long lines. They're still waiting to vote. Now, there's also some results. I have to put that in quotation marks because the results are not final by a long shot, but it is fairly clear. One result is fairly clear, and that is that the leading party, Mr. Orban's party called Fidesz, will get about 58% of the vote, as opposed to 66% and a two-thirds that was 4 years ago. Now, that's very significant, because with two-thirds you can change the constitution, and otherwise it's that particular method to turn the country further away from democracy is not available.
So in your article that I mentioned at the Washington Post about Orban blaming George Soros for all the country's woes, you mentioned a new verb that's entered the lexicon.
Yes. Well, it is to Soros, or Soros, or in Hungarian it is Sorosozni, which means that you blame the Hungarian-American Jewish financier and philanthropist for the country's problems. This is an extraordinary campaign, the like of which I don't think any European country has ever seen, where you simply find a scapegoat for the unsolved problems of the country.
But there's been ugly Islamophobia, leaflets talking about holes in the fence and Muslims pouring into Hungary. But there's also been posters and of George Soros with an exaggeratedly long Jewish-type nose. That's right. Pretty disgusting, isn't it?
That's correct. The primary issue is this. A couple of years ago, when so many migrants tried to approach Europe, and it was through, in large part, through Hungary, as well as through Italy and Croatia. But the Hungarian government found a way to keep them out and make the best of it, building on the prejudice of voters against foreigners. So, in effect, what Orban started was a campaign rooted on the slogan "Hungary for the Hungarians," and he played up Hungary's role in keeping foreigners, but particularly strangers from the east, out, and he pretended to be the defender of Christian Europe. I think that's why his reputation in the West, including in this country, has dropped so much in recent years.
But what explains this? I mean, it's a phenomenon that's happening around the world. Democracies are in retreat in Russia, China, Turkey, the Philippines, and certainly in Hungary and also in Poland. And the idea that Orban, I mean, he has Jobbik to the right of him, is right as he is, there's even more right-wing party, but he's resorting to the tactics of Joseph Goebbels. What happened to historical memory?
Well, that's a very broad question. I would say that Jobbik is no longer to the right of Fidesz. Fidesz is a far right party today, and in the meantime has moved to the right, while Jobbik has moved towards the center. So it's a rather interesting opportunistic moves by both parties. In any case, what explains this is the repression of Hungarians under Soviet or Russian rule, and the feeling that Orban was able to generate that they ought to be patriots by keeping everybody out. And so his struggle is now primarily against Brussels and the European Union, from which Hungary benefits greatly, and about 3%, maybe 3.5% of its economy is financed essentially by the taxpayers of the rich EU countries.
But Orban studied at Oxford University on a scholarship paid for by George Soros. That's extraordinary.
The saying applies, good deeds don't go unpunished.
Uh-huh. Well, it's an extraordinary situation. And do you think there's anything that's going to stop this drift in Poland and Hungary towards authoritarian rule? I mean, I don't understand how the people feel. I mean, in this country, we have, an authoritarian president, but we don't have an authoritarian country. We have Fox News and Sinclair and a kind of right-wing cheer squad. But in Hungary and in Russia, of course, both Orban and Putin, the first thing they do is take over the media. And is that an explanation, that people are simply brainwashed into accepting authoritarianism?
Well, that's part of the explanation. Outside of the capital city of Budapest, you don't get too many different opinions at all. The primary television station or network is very strictly controlled by the government. Now, in Budapest, where it's unclear to me whether Fidesz even won the election, and, 2 million people live there, they might have won, but if they did, it's around 51%. And it's very possible that even that's an inaccurate number. So the point is that if you don't have any alternative opinion available to the public, well, what can they do? That's all they hear. That's all they have always heard. Don't forget, this is now the 12th year of Orban's rule. He had 4 years at the turn of the century. Then he did lose an election in 2002, but now he's been back again. And
for a third consecutive term, right. Well, Charles Gaddy, I thank you for joining us. I'm afraid we've run out of time, but I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
And again, I've been speaking with Charles Gaddy, who's a senior research professor of European and Eurasian Studies at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, a former senior advisor with the policy planning staff of the U.S. Department of State, and a former professor at Union College and Columbia University. His books include Failed Illusions, Moscow, Washington, Budapest, and the 1956 Hungarian Revolt, and Zabig, The Strategy and Statecraft of Zbigniew Brzezinski. And he has an article at the Washington Post, Why Hungary's Prime Minister Blames George Soros for All of the Country's Woes. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can contact me and scroll down the right-hand side and sign up for iTunes podcasts. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared.